Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hello, and thank you for joining us. Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is an encore presentation. It's some of our best ghost stories of all time. Didn't want to leave you high and dry without an episode, so today you get some of the best real ghost stories that we've ever heard here on Real Ghost Stories Online. And feel free, if you have a real ghost story, to call it in at 855-853-4802. Or, of course, you can always just write into the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Enjoy today's encore presentation of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hi, guys. This is Eric from Oklahoma. And I just wanted to tell you about some experiences I had in the house that I used to live in when I was back in college. I was finishing up moving in to this little blue house in the summer of 2000. And I was putting on the finishing touches of, I kind of got everything packed in. I think I might have spent a night or two at the place. And it was probably around 9, 10 in the morning. And I'm getting my bedroom situated. And I heard the door open. Then I heard someone walk through the kitchen, through the living room, through what was supposed to be the dining room, was kind of a area where we had a dartboard and stuff. And I heard him, someone come in. I thought it was my roommate. There were just two of us living there at the time during the summer at this college town. So I heard someone come up the spiral staircase, and the upstairs was pretty small. And I had my bedroom door open, so basically I could see anyone that came up the stairway, and no one was there. So I thought that was pretty weird, and I wasn't sure if just my mind was playing tricks on me, or maybe the house was selling. It was an old house. I would imagine it was probably, at the time, at least 50, maybe 60, 70 years old. So, you know, this was before there was a whole lot of ghost shows, and so I thought maybe it was something weird, paranormal, but there was only one occurrence. So within the first week or two I was there, I would often be up, early morning, early to mid-morning, and I'd be watching TV or maybe playing a video game before I had to be at work, early afternoon or sometime later than that. And a lot of times, this happened at least twice, where it sounded like someone would walk, like open the door, take a step or two, and I'd look, and no one would be there. And so really nothing other than that really happened until Oh, I've probably been there maybe a few months. Me and two of my roommates were talking about how we thought maybe we had a ghost, and none of us really ever saw anything. There's nothing really malevolent about it, and really just, I don't even remember any stories. There were really nothing to it, but as we're talking about it, I said, I think we got a ghost, and I heard the loudest bang, one of the loudest sounds I've ever heard in my life. And the weirdest thing was there was no reverberation. You know, you would think windows would shake, you know, some of the glasses would shake that were on a table, on an end table. You would think you kind of vibrated, but just to sound that loud, it sounded like something really heavy fell from a pretty nice height right in the middle of us. And all three of us heard it. We all looked strange, and the funny thing is we just stopped talking about it. We didn't really mention it until maybe 4 or 5 months later, and as just as before, I think we had actually an extra roommate. We were talking about the same thing, and this same sound happened again. Just a super loud bang. And I just don't think you can debunk it, because it only happened those two times. And it's really weird. You know, there's no vibration. So I don't know if this is just some weird sound that was put in their head by something paranormal or what it was, but it was definitely weird. Just thought you guys like to hear that story. I actually just moved into a trailer that's pretty haunted this last few months, and I've got some things that happened here, and I'll probably call back about those. I love your show, and keep doing it. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks for calling in and sharing your story with us. What do you think?
I think the ghost was trying to say ding, ding, ding.
I was just going to say, he should put out one of the old bells, you know, like from a meat counter.
Yeah.
And just give it something else to make a noise with. So it's like, I think we have a ghost. Ding, 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 ding. Ah, we have a winner. You know?
Yep.
That may be a little more definitive, if you will.
That makes me think of the guy in the wheelchair on Breaking Bad with the dinger.
That he blows up.
Yes.
I think you might die. Ding, 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 ding. Gone. I think you have an entity that was trying to make itself very well known. I'd love to hear the rest of his stories from within his new home that he's in.
Yeah.
Because I wonder if it's something that's following him around, or if it just happens to be going into haunted locations.
Maybe he's just sensitive to that.
Or carrying a haunted object around.
Could be.
Yeah, I wonder about that sometimes, where people, they go from building to building to building, or home to home to home to home. And they think they're the ones that are haunted. How many times how often is it that someone completely abandons all their objects and possessions when they go from home to home? Pretty rare, if ever.
Well, in Oklahoma, it happens kind of every spring.
What? So,
well, he said he's in Oklahoma. I'm just thinking of tornadoes blowing everything away.
Well, if a disaster strikes you, sure.
Sorry, bad joke.
But if it were to be, you know, just by choice, I mean, I know in Amityville, they, you know, got rid of all their stuff and moved. And apparently I don't know. George and Kathy said nothing happened after they moved. The kids say stuff continued to happen.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I wonder how often it is like a physical object that's carrying, you know, itself, that you're carrying around with you. And not really knowing it. And then how do you narrow down what object it is to get rid of it? You can't.
No, you can't.
Slowly burn everything until it stops.
What if it's one of those objects that you feel obligated to keep for whatever reason? Like it was either a family heirloom, or it's just really old and you can't see just getting rid of it.
I think if it was something that was really tormenting me and I knew it was from that object, like absolutely sure it was that object, I would get rid of it. I don't care what the hell it is.
Yeah.
Even if, you know, even if, I don't care what it is, if it was tormenting me, if it was just like the occasional, oh, hey, look at that, a cup moved, you know, something fairly non-invasive.
Sure.
I'd probably hold on to it, but it all depends what's going on. The occasional bang like that, yeah, I don't think it necessarily needs to get rid of something sentimental, but if it's like, oh, there's demons showing up in the middle of the night making my children levitate off the bed. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Gone. Whatever that is.
I agree. I think it depends on what's going on.
Yeah.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
Kara writes in, when I was 8, my sister, who is 10 years older, was babysitting me. She was in the kitchen fixing me some chocolate milk, and I walked into our family room towards the kitchen. I saw a young boy in what looked like short pants, suspenders, and some sort of hat reminiscent of the 1800 newsboys in our living room. I ran through the family room into the kitchen, and the boys seemed to run parallel to me from the living room into our dining area. After the dining room, there's nothing but the wall of our garage, so there was no way out. I told my sister what I had just seen, but of course she didn't believe me. She gave me my chocolate milk and tried to distract me by agreeing to play a game. So we walked back to the living room, down a hall towards our bedroom. Just as we hit the hallway, you could see into our bedroom. The closet doors in that room flew open, and everything in the very top of the closet frame came falling onto our bed. Please understand, my mother was, and still is, a clean freak. So there were not a lot of things just piled up in the top of the closet, pushing against the closet doors, in fact. Top of the closet was rather sparse, with the exception of my board games. When the doors flew open, I dropped my chocolate milk on the carpet, and we bolted out the back door. My sister ran over to our neighbor's house, asking them to come over and check out the home. The eldest son and dad came over with their shotguns, went through the whole house, not finding anyone. During their inspection, our mom came home from work. She was not very happy we had bothered the neighbors, and was even more upset over the big chocolate milk stain on the carpet. This was the first incident I remembered about our home. Since then, there have been several other instances of people experiencing strange things in our home. My parents built the home the year I was born, in 1971, so we were the first and so far only family to live in it. It is built on top of a large rock underground. We live in western Kentucky, where there are a lot of underground coal mines, and in fact, there is one about 3 miles behind our property. My parents wanted to be sure their home wouldn't possibly fall in due to the poor mine reclamation, so they were certain to find an area that had not, nor could it, be mined. Many times you might hear someone walk through the house only to realize you're the only one home once your next-door neighbor was over visiting. And they heard what my mom thought was me get up, open my bedroom door as I was lying down due to a migraine, come down the living room through the dining room, and expected to see me come into the kitchen. The neighbor asked how I was feeling, and my mom started to say, "Didn't you hear Mrs. Martin?" When she realized I had not yet come into the kitchen, Mom got up, checked the kitchen, walked the path they thought I had taken, went to my bedroom to see that I was still asleep on the bed. I've had several experiences like that through the years. 20 years ago, my husband spent the night at my parents' house for the first time. He had heard our various stories about the house, but was a complete skeptic of ghosts and strange happenings. He slept on the couch in our living room, which shares a wall and doorway with our family room. At about 3 a.m., he heard me and my mom arguing right next to the doorway between the living room and family rooms. He could hear my mom's voice escalate, but couldn't understand what we were saying. The next morning, as everyone was getting up, he pulled me aside and asked what the argument with my mom was about. I had never gotten up, or much less had an argument with my mom. At first, he thought I was trying to pull something over on him, trying to prove our house was haunted. But he spoke to my mom and realized there was no argument between my mother and myself in the middle of the night. He began to freak out a little. Recently, my dad passed away, but before his passing, he used to get up at 3 a.m. and take his daily shower. Then he would fix breakfast. He told me, while I had gone home for a visit last summer, that some mornings he heard what he thought was my mom getting up and turning on the TV while he was in the shower. But when he came out of the bathroom, he discovered Mom was still asleep, the TV off and cold. He said it happened at least twice a week, every week. He could hear men and women talking, just like might be heard in a television program. A few times he would hear someone walking in the family area, again to find no one there. We can't begin to understand who or what might be haunting our home, as no one has ever passed away in the home. No one had ever been buried on the property, and no other families have ever lived on the property, but something strange happens at our house on Anton Road.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
Nikki writes in, "I recently stumbled upon your podcast while looking for current information on shadow people. I sat and listened to your June 19th episode attentively while at work. I decided I'd share our story." Now, before I share our story, I feel like it's important to say, I know evil. I've lived with it. And I feel it's important for me to say, I'm taking a drink of water quickly before I continue on with the story. It's another story that I'll write in about, but just to make the point before I write about this story, I do know evil. and the uneasy feelings that come with living with it. Onto our story. Up until recently, everything I knew about shadow people came with books, podcasts, even unsolved mystery episodes as a child. I don't ever recall reading anything positive. Everything I've ever come across has related them to being malevolent. They're evil entities with red eyes and ill intentions. Some wear hats, some are blobs, but never do I hear anything positive. Well, 3 months ago I moved in with my boyfriend. We have a cute but dated apartment in Paddle Lake, Wisconsin. For those not familiar with the area, it's known as the County. It's a cute and quaint little town. Not very eventful, and I'm pretty sure it's one of those places where everyone knows your business. I'm originally from the suburbs of Chicago, so it's a big change for me. Regardless, I like it here. Not long after we started moving in, my stuff started, and I started having encounters with our own resident shadow man. I can't sit here and explain how we know it's a man, we just do. He's a featureless, blurry oval of black. He has no hat, no glowing eyes to speak of, and for reasons that I again can't explain, I like to call him Hal. My first encounters with Hal were in the kitchen. I'd be in there cooking or washing dishes. My back turned to the entryway, and I'd feel a presence approaching me. At first, I'd smile and turn to kiss my boyfriend, which I assumed was coming to see what I was up to. I'd turn around to throw my arms around him, and there would be no one there. This would happen a few more times before Hal decided to let me in on the joke. Finally, one day, I'm in the kitchen washing dishes, feel someone behind me, so I turn around, and this time I see a black blur dart out of the kitchen. Now that the secret was out, the weeks that followed would have me seeing Hal walking into the bathroom, down the hall, into the children's bedrooms. My son is 6, my boyfriend's daughter is 8. The kitchen, whenever I was cooking, something that intrigued him. And then one day, peering into our bedroom as we were having a serious discussion. I just miscarried and my boyfriend was consoling me. Then, out of the blue, he looks away from me, points at the door and exclaims, "Not now, we're trying to talk, go somewhere else." The kids were out of town with their respective grandparents, and so I looked up to see who he was talking to, only to see a blur rapidly disappear. I look at my boyfriend, and as I'm drying my eyes to ask, "You see him too?" This led to an entirely different discussion as we began to talk about our shadow man. He'd go on to tell me that he's always been there. The kids have seen him, and he's harmless. I sat there completely shocked that here, the whole time, I was trying to stay quiet about it so no one thought I was crazy. And here, it was common knowledge in our home. Later that day, I would go on to talk to Hal. "I realize they say that you never acknowledge a ghost, but Hal never made me feel uneasy, so a talk was not only acceptable, but necessary. After all, if I was going to share my home with him, we should establish a mutual respect and understanding with one another." I sat down on the couch in our living room, looked around, waited a few minutes to see if he'd reappeared. Nothing. So I glanced around and called out, "Excuse me, Mr. Shadow Man, we need to talk. No need for you to appear. All I ask is that you listen and you don't speak back because you'll freak me out." I paused a moment, then went on to speak. "First of all, I'll apologize for Jay's yelling at you earlier. You see, we've been struggling to get pregnant, and you may or may not have heard me scream and cry. I miscarried. We're losing the baby we fought so hard for. We didn't mean to be short with you, but it was a private moment that we needed to have before we shared it with you or anyone else." I paused again to let Hal absorb and understand that, yes, I was talking to him. Then I continued, "I understand that this is just as much your home as it is ours, and I'm okay with that as long as we can come to a common place of respect and understanding. Rule number one, no bullying. We are a zero-tolerance home. No harm comes to anyone in this house. So scaring by speaking, opening or closing doors, or pulling any crazy ghostly nonsense. We are a bully and scare-free home, and I'm asking you to respect that. In turn, so long as we live here, we too will respect you. Rule number two, I see you like to go into the children's bedrooms. As we've agreed, that I can't handle you talking, I will assume that you are simply checking on them. Please recall rule one and know that if you want to check on them, Jay and I are okay with that, but try to keep yourself from being seen by them. Rule number three, privacy. I want privacy when in the bathroom and when our bedroom door closes. I'm sorry, but not all things are meant to be shared. Rule four, you are living with a Greek and an Italian. There are crosses and rosaries all over this home. Don't turn them upside down nor drop them on the floor. You will be asked to leave. And finally, rule five, I can't call you the Shadow Man because it freaks me out. So I'm going to call you Hal because you feel like a Hal. Now, Hal, all I ask is that you respect these five simple rules, and I promise you we'll get along just fine. Since our talk, Hal has continued to live and go about his business in a peaceful and respectful manner. He doesn't scare our kids, leaves everything in its place, never speaks, and we all get along just fine. When I'm home alone, I politely greet him, rhetorically ask how his day had been, and reply with, I hope it's treating you well. And then I ask that he not let me see his shadow because I'm a baby when Jay isn't around. Thus far, he's obliged. We've told a few of our friends and have been given the warning of it's evil and pretending to be nice. It feeds off negative energy. But we wholeheartedly disagree. He's Greek, I'm Italian, and Irish. When we actually do fight, it's explosive. And Hal, well, he hides for days. He doesn't come around when we fight. And then he waits a few days, and we see him almost peering from around corners of our home, ensuring it's safe to come out. So overall, I don't think all shadow people are bad. Hal has been in my life for a little over 3 months now, and he's been very respectful. Funny thing about Hal is, we see him most when the kids are gone. He goes in and out of their rooms constantly checking for them. For us, the Shadow Man isn't malevolent. He's a respectful house guest, and truthfully, I feel safe at night knowing he's around watching over us. Who needs ADT when you have Hal?
It almost sounds like it's kind of almost childlike, the way it is afraid of them.
Yeah.
And the way it keeps going in the kids' rooms, like it wants to hang out with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's a full-size shadow person that, you know.
Could be a kid.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's kind of an oval shape.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I could see it being just an entity of some sort that, you know, resembles the Shadow Man or those, you know, shadow people, but interesting that it sounds like it was probably a human spirit at one point in time.
Yeah, I think so.
That for whatever reason is still on that property and not moving along.
I like how she laid down the law and she's like, if you're going to be here, you got to follow these rules.
Sit there and reason with the Shadow Man.
Real ghost stories. Online.
At 855-853-4802. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Travis from Kansas City. I just wanted to call in and tell a quick story. I've been fairly active on the forum and stuff, and I absolutely love it. It's a great community out there, and really appreciate what both of you guys have started and creating an atmosphere that we can open up and tell things that a paranormal activity that others might not quite want to hear or accept or listen to. So anyway, I actually currently work in a hospital here in Kansas City that I work in the sterile processing department, in which many my coworkers and I have had many experiences with what some may call, you know, with shadow people, and even one of my coworkers saw a full figured apparition walking from our boss's office. He actually followed it all the way from my boss's office out the door and then disappeared. But the story I wanted to really tell you guys about was on the weekend, I work an 8-hour shift, and it's usually just me to handle the entire hospital and running surgical instruments that need to be processed and cleaned and returned upstairs. And anyway, so it gets pretty busy because usually I have a crew of three, and it's just me working. And so one night I was working and just working my tail end off, and I get to I'm wrapping a surgical set. All of a sudden, I started hearing sounds from one of the rooms attached to our department. I'm like, well, that's weird, because, you know, I'm by myself. I'm the only one working in the department. But sometimes we have our environmental services people come in and do the trash and things like that. And anyway, so I thought it was one of them. And so I go over into the room, and I ran into a chill that I have never, ever felt since then, or ever before, that literally chilled me to the very core of my body. Even, I'd even say down into the marrow of my bones, it was so cold. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, what was that? And so I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'm just imagining things. And so I go back to work, and all of a sudden I hear in the corner of my department what sounded like an old woman screaming, saying, oh God, please help me. Oh God, please help me. And I'm like, I think it's time for me to leave. So I left the department and went and did rounds and stuff, and came back down, and I continued hearing sounds and stuff. But I have never, that was one of the scariest experiences that I've ever had working there. We've had other experiences of, while I was working, two of my coworkers were talking across the room, and they look up, and I look at them, and they have this puzzled expression on their faces, and I'm like, well, what are you looking at me weird for? And I said, and they answered, well, we just saw what looked like a black crow or something literally fly right over your head from one wall across over you and then through another wall. And I'm like, yeah, sure you did. But later on, I eventually did see something like that. But that's just a few of the stories that I've encountered at working in this sterile processing department. And I know hospitals are notoriously haunted, and I have quite a few other stories that not necessarily happened to me, but happened to friends of mine at the same hospital. Anyway, love your show. I have a few other stories that happened to me while I was younger, but anyway, thanks again for all you guys do, and I look forward to telling you more of the stories. Have a great day. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for calling in. Okay, Tony, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think any of the equipment or the tools that he's sterilizing or processing could, like, get energy attached to him because of whatever they just went through?
Could they be infested with a ghost?
Well, I don't want to say that.
Well, I suppose if he subscribed to the theory that an object can get an entity attached to it, I suppose actually that would probably be a perfect object to go to. You know, if it has to have like physical contact with someone as they're passing.
Yeah.
If that's how that works.
Okay.
You know, in that case, I can imagine like old antique medical tools probably have a lot of ghosts attached with them. But, I don't know. I could see that being possibly the case. I mean, just the environment itself that he was in, though.
Yeah.
I mean, beyond the tools, you know.
It would be very hard to differentiate. Well, it'd be impossible.
Source? Yeah.
It'd be impossible. It just made me wonder if maybe he's going to have a higher number of things happen because of what he works with. So
I could see that possibly.
Okay.
You know, it's just like, it's like antiques. You know, I think if you've, you're surrounded by antiques, no matter, you know, if you're in an old building or a new building, you know, what are the odds of having a haunting, you know, is it increased if you're in an older building surrounded by antiques or in a new building surrounded by antiques?
I think probably an older building.
Yeah.
Because you have the history of the building and the history of every single thing in it.
Sure. But you could still have the haunting in the new building.
Sure,
the,
you could.
With the objects. Yeah. So, yeah. Interesting story.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802. That is our phone number. Let's go to another ghost story. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. This is Jay from Missouri. I love the show, and I wanted to call in and tell you guys my ghost story that actually happened on my honeymoon. My wife and I, we decided to stay at the Crescent Hotel in Eureka Springs, Arkansas, which has a really dark history. It was like a cancer hospital where this guy was not a real doctor. He was accepting patients, taking their money, but he wasn't actually doing anything to them. They were just dying, and he would burn the bodies at night in the town. So there's a lot of stuff, a lot of weird stuff going on in that, in this place that my wife and I knew about ahead of time, but we thought, well, we'll go there. Nothing's going to happen to us. You know, not a big deal. So we booked our stay at this place. First night, absolutely nothing happens. So no big deal. Second night, I'm laying in bed, and in the middle of the night, I just sat straight up, and I never ever do that. So it was really weird. It was really weird for me to be doing that anyway. And I look down at the foot of the bed, and I just see a black figure that turns and walks the width of the bed and just disappears. So I get up. I'm a little freaked out. I get up. I go. We had a suite, so we had a second room. I went and I checked the suite. I checked the bathroom. Looked around the bedroom area. Nothing there. So I laid back down, went back to sleep. The third day, this next thing happened during the day. We were sitting around in the room, and there was a deck in the other room of the suite that had these really old, like, French doors, I guess. When we went out onto the balcony, we had a hard time opening up the doors. And I'm a big dude, and it took me a lot of effort to just get these doors open. Well, we're there the third day. We're sitting around, and all of a sudden, the doors just burst open with a really loud crack. Doors burst open. We go. There's no wind. It wasn't a very windy day, and these doors just busted open. We're like, wow, that's weird. So then I tell my wife what happened the night before. We both of us are like, oh, well, that's kind of weird. So the third night, I go out to go get some ice for our little ice bucket. I open the door to find the ghost tour that they give at the hotel standing right outside our room. So we decided the next night we were definitely going on the ghost tour to see what was up with our room. So nothing happens the third night. Fourth night, we go on the ghost tour, discover that somebody in our room who was building the building fell through our room and died in the room below, and sometimes he's seen in the room just above his death. And on the balcony, apparently this building was also like a girl's dormitory at one time, and a young woman and her boyfriend got into a fight on the balcony, and the girl went over the edge and fell to her death. And she's off and sometimes seen on the balcony. So that explained the balcony doors bursting open a little bit. But anyway, that was our honeymoon experience. Like I said, I love the show. And keep it up. Love it, guys. Thanks. Bye.
Wow. Would ghosts ruin your honeymoon if paranormal activity started occurring in your suite? Wow. You know, it's funny, because we were talking about this on an episode the other night when Jenny was in here. And I think I brought something up, like, if we were in, it was a Queen Mary we were talking about. And I said, if we stayed there and, you know, something paranormal happened, would we stay? And said, no, we'd leave right away. I kind of think I'd want to stay a little bit. I actually have a good friend of mine who got married on the ship as well. I don't believe anything paranormal happened to them. I know they stayed there that night, but I never heard of any sort of ghostly activity happening. But haunted honeymoon.
Real Ghost Stories
Online.
855-853-4802 is a phone number to call into Real Ghost Stories Online if you have a real ghost story that you would like to share with us.
Yes. My name is Dwayne, and I'm from Louisville, Kentucky. Recently started watching or listening to the show, and absolutely fell in love with it because it's nice to actually be able to have a hub to come to listen to these things. My ghost story starts off kind of young. I was about, I don't know, 8, maybe 9 years old, and my family growing up was more of the super dysfunctional. My father had a temper, he liked to drink, and he would occasionally, more than occasionally, I suppose, take it out on my mother. So we had all come home from the state fair, and things have been going great for the last couple of days. This one event, something had happened at the fair between my parents that I did not know about. I still don't know what occurred, but it really doesn't matter. Because when we got home, they went up to the upstairs, which at the time was off limits to me. And I stayed downstairs. And as this time period went on, I began to hear louder and louder yelling and fighting and cursing and screaming. And I just, for some odd reason, ran into their bedroom. I didn't normally go in there, but this time I chose to go in there. And it was in the middle of summer, so we had the air conditioner on in there, and it did tend to be a little cooler in their room. I'm sitting on the floor, just upset, trying to get away from the sound, when bedroom closet just opened on its own. Now my first immediate thought, even at 8, was there a breeze or gust? Because I've seen how when you have multiple windows open, doors can open and close themselves. This stuff happens all the time. But the window right immediately beside the bedroom door had the air conditioner in it. There couldn't have been a gust of wind to open a door. Coming from that way, it would have pushed the door to, not sucked in and made like a vacuum effect and pulled it out. Nothing came out. Nothing said anything. The door just opened on its own. I was not too inclined to stay in the room after that. Even though my parents were still fighting, I went to the stairs and sat midway on the stairs, listening to them. So if I had to go up really quickly or something come at me, I could get up there. And to just felt safe for some reason on the steps. About another 10, 15 minutes went by, and I was on the stairs and just kind of wanting the argument to be over with so my parents could come down there with me. My dad's sister, throughout my childhood, was able to calm him down the most. She had a husband who was worked at a factory and had a bunch of keys on his key ring all the time. And everywhere he walked, you could hear, the jingle, jingle, jingle. So the longer the fight went on, the more I began to just think about going down and calling him. Well, I can't really put a pinpoint time on how long time passed, but for no unexplained reason, I heard the back door to the house, which was the main entrance to our house at the time, open, and I heard those exact keys jingling. I went down the steps, went to go talk with this gentleman so that I could tell him what was going on, so maybe he could go upstairs and help stop the fighting. And nobody was there. I was a little bit freaked out, but for some reason it didn't bother me that bad. And it wasn't maybe 2 minutes later, our phone rang and I picked it up and it was my dad's sister. And I told her what was going on, and then she sent that same gentleman over, and he did eventually show up. So I don't know if maybe it was just somebody looking after me or what, but well, anyway, I'm grown up now. I'm a nurse. I'm an emergency room nurse, and I have several more different things that have occurred between growing up and being a nurse and seeing a lot of stuff, seeing a lot of death, and then some really weird things that have occurred afterwards, and I may call back later to share those stories. Love the show. Thank you all very much. Just keep up the good work. Bye.
We always love good hospital stories.
We do. It's always interesting to hear what happens with the occurrences when people do pass, because just by the sheer amount that I'm sure folks end up seeing who work in those situations, that some of those situations that happen that are unexplained really are quite haunting.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the situation there of the man that showed up and then was gone?
You know, I don't know. I hate to say this, but I almost wonder if his mind was playing tricks on him. You know, almost like wishful thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it's very ironic that the sister called right at the time that that he needed, you know, them to come and help.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It may have been one of those things where it's just sending out that vibe and it got picked up.
Real Ghost Stories Online.
I have dreams where I have hair back.
Oh, God, that would scare me.
And it's like, oh, my God, this is awesome. I have hair, and I'm, like, trying to figure out all the ways I can style it, and, like, having hair, it's just this amazing concept. And then all of a sudden I wake up, I'm like, damn, still no hair.
Yeah.
I have to do those chest hair plugs into my skin.
No, I still like you without hair, I think. I mean, our listeners don't realize, when we met, you had almost no hair on top and just a little bit on the back, and then you gave up and started shaving all of it.
But I thought I did. That was the thing.
You thought you had more hair than you did?
I did. It was one of those things where I look in the mirror and I go, I look like I have hair. But then I look at myself in a picture and I'm like, God, where did my hair go?
Yeah.
It's that flash.
It would just be weird to see you with hair.
Yeah, I had it for so long, though.
Anyway.
855-853-4802. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Tony. This is Beastly Gamer from YouTube. Just driving to work. I took my kids to school. We were listening to the podcast this morning. And I wanted to call in and relay a story that happened to me as a child living in Ohio. It's kind of a running joke in my family. We talk about this thing called the Fruit Head Man. And it's something that really happened to me. It happened actually to me and my older brother at 1984, 1985, somewhere in that area. We were living in a little house in Akron, Ohio, on Marie Terrace. And I had this imaginary friend. And, I thought it was imaginary anyway. This thing would come out of the closet. I would see the clothes move in the closet. And it would come from in between whatever was hanging up. And it was, you know, it was about 4 foot tall. It was taller than I was. But I thought it was made out of fruit because of the way it looked. It had really skinny arms, skinny legs, had a real slim body, and its head, I thought, was like a melon. So I called it Fruit Head Man. And it would come out and talk to me. It came out on numerous occasions. And you got to take into account, back then I was a big fan of shows like Fraggle Rock. So in my mind, things like this could possibly exist. This thing would come out and it would ask me questions about why my mom was, you know, doing certain things and why she was, you know, reciting verses to us out of the Bible. My mom used to always give us a verse every night before we went to sleep. And that's one thing I remember this thing asking me about. But it would come out all the time, and usually, well, always, I was by myself. And I called it the Fruit Head Man. This thing even admitted to that. It told me that it was Fruit Head, and that's what it was. And so I thought everything was fine. The day in particular when this story actually happened, I was sitting on the side of my bed. We had a bunk bed, me and my older brother. And this thing came out of the closet. I was talking to it, and I was sitting on the bed. My feet were hanging off the side. I wasn't tall enough to actually have my feet on the ground. But it was standing in front of me and talking, and it seemed so whimsical. It seemed like something out of a fairy tale, this big, giant-haired thing standing there looking at me, talking to me. And I remember it like yesterday, all right? My older brother, Joe, he walked in. Now, Joe is 17 months older than I am, and so this let me know I wasn't going crazy. Joe walked into the room when this thing was standing there talking to me. And Joe came in from the right corner, and the fruit head man was standing right in front of me, and Joe saw it. And I had never been afraid of this thing, ever, until this time. Joe saw this thing and froze and looked at it, and Joe was probably about 6 at the time. He looked at it, and he froze, and he immediately turned around to run for the door. Now, this stuff I'm telling you, I swear to God, it's true. I don't care what people say. I've told my friends and coworkers for years about this story. Everybody's like, yeah, right. But everybody remembers it. My brother remembers it. My mom, dad remember it. Joe turned around to run for the door. Now, we had a little single-seat sofa at the foot of our bed. It was at the bottom of the bed. This sofa slid, I swear, directly in front of the door. And as I was watching this, I feel like now I was watching a movie or something because of everything happened. The sofa slid in front of the door before Joe even started, you know, to run for the door. So it was a big sofa that we couldn't move. We were little kids. Joe jumped on the sofa and started screaming for my mom. Okay, my mom and my dad were home. Now, this is a town home we lived in, so we were upstairs. And we had a lock at the very top of our door. It was one of those old-school chain locks that you grab the bottom of the chain and you put it in the slot. That locked by itself, okay? I'm still sitting on the bed. I'm kind of in shock at this moment. This thing had its back turned to me at this time, and it was looking at my brother. Joe turned around on the sofa, and he put his head between his legs. He brought his knees up to his face. He wrapped his arms around his calves, and he started screaming, okay? At this time, I started to get scared for the very first time because I start to realize that, hey, look, this thing is not supposed to be here. Something's wrong. And so I got that, you know, hair standing on the back of my neck sensation. I jumped up, and I ran past the fruit head man. I ran past him as quickly as I could. I jumped on the sofa next to my brother, and I helped him. You know, we started screaming together for my mom. Now, this thing walked up to us, and I had seen it, you know, on previous occasions, so I wasn't as afraid of it as Joe was. But it walked up to us, and it was trying to calm us down. And it, thinking about the way it looked now, it looked like it was fake, the way that its body was moving. It's really creepy, but it was standing in front of us, maybe about 2 or 3 feet away, and it was looking at us with intent, and it was looking at me primarily, and telling me, just calm down, telling him to calm down. At this time, my mom is coming to the top of the stairs, coming towards our door, so this thing starts to back up, the fruit head man. He backed up and started to go around the corner to the closet. So he went into the closet, and now, it's so funny thinking about it. My mom started to beat on the doorway, and she hit the door really hard, and she kind of cracked it, and she saw the chain at the top of the door was locked. Now, keep in mind, me and my brother were 5 and 6 years old, or either that or 4 and a half and 6, somewhere in that area. And she saw this chain at the top of the door that was locked. And then she saw that the side of this little single-seat sofa was in front of the door, so she started to panic. She started to scream for my dad and was telling my dad that somebody had broke into our window upstairs and somebody was in our room. Anyway, my dad, he's a big guy like me. He came upstairs, and by this time my mom was really jimmying this door trying to get whatever, you know, was in front of it out of the way. And my dad hit the door a couple of times. He broke the chain and pushed the sofa out of the way. Joe turned around and, like, jumped Spring Hill Jack style into my mom's arms, and, you know, I was crying too, but he was hysterical for a real long time, older brother. He was really traumatized by that, and my mom came asking, what was it, and the only thing I would tell her is it was the fruit head man, because to me, that's what it was. It was this thing that would come out of the closet, and it would talk to me. It never harmed me. It never tried to, you know, do anything like to scare me. But when my brother saw it, that was the last time that I saw it. And my older brother saw it. And it's funny. It's kind of a running joke in my family. We talk about the fruit head man from time to time. My brother, he's 36, and he still remembers it now. You know, we talk about it. He's a really straight-laced guy, so I know I'm not insane. And he says, yeah, Brett, you know, for that time in our life, I know that there was something crazy out there, something otherworldly, you know, exists. among the shadows. So I really want to know what you guys think about this story. I want, you know, to hear from the rest of the podcast listeners what they think this thing could have possibly been. Thanks for the opportunity to tell it. I'm happy I got a platform to let everybody know about this kind of stuff. This is the BC Gamer from YouTube, and I'll talk to you guys next time.
I think your poor mother had her hands full with you two boys, because the last story you told us is about a shadow man that you and your brother had to deal with, and it slammed the door and it caught your head in the door. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, man. You guys had it rough when you were little, but I'm just thinking your house had something demonic in it, and it was showing itself in a couple of different forms.
There you go. Thanks for listening to today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, an encore presentation of some of our best ghost stories we've ever gotten. If you have a real ghost story, you can call it into us at 855-853-4802 or write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember, if you want more bonus episodes that you can feed off of anytime you want, just sign up to be an EPP through our website. That's an extra podcast person at realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Bruschi, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
The new year brings new health goals and wealth goals. Protecting your identity is an important step. Your info is in endless places that could expose you to identity theft, leading to lost funds. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock's restoration specialist will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Resolve to make identity, health, and wealth part of your New Year's goals with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.